1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Jabez. Number one, his plight. Number two, his plea. Number three, his place. I came across this beautiful prayer this week, prayed by a young girl. O thou great chief and Lord, light a candle in my heart, so that I may see what is therein, and sweep away the rubbish from thy dwelling place. Isn't that a beautiful prayer? Sweep away the rubbish from thy dwelling place. James Montgomery said, prayer is the soul's sincere desire, uttered or unexpressed, the motion of a hidden fire that trembles in the breast. Prayer is the simplest form of speech that infant lips can try. And prayer is the sublimest strains that reach the majesty on high. We come to look at a man of prayer and the prayer that he prayed this evening. Jabez is mentioned three times in the Bible. And if you are a Bible reader and you determine to read through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, when you come to the book of Chronicles, usually it's really, really difficult. Because there are hundreds and hundreds of names. Fathers who begat their sons. And you're thinking, how long is this going to take? This is like walking through a desert. When the sun is burning, it's so draining. But sometimes in a desert, you come to an oasis. And here is an oasis found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. Number one, his plight. He's honored, but he's hurting. Really hurting. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And his mother called his name Jabez because I bore him in pain. The commentators on this passage tell us a number of things about Jabez. First, it's apparent amongst all those names mentioned that Jabez, the name of his father, is not mentioned. Here is a fatherless son. Some think, because it's the time of the judges when he lived, and because that was such a time of chaos, such a time when every man did according to how he felt. If it looked good, if it felt good, we do it. Some think his mother was raped and his father was killed. He's honorable, that's for sure. Because he's from the tribe of Judah. In fact, he's probably amongst the aristocracy. And yet amongst this honor, there is this deep hurt. So much so that when he's born, his mother gives him the name, Son of My Sorrow. Some of you won't remember Johnny Cash. But he had a song, A Boy Named Sue. How could anyone call a boy Sue? And he hunts down his dad and he wants to smash him up. Well, Jabez, he lives with this title of a sorrow, of pain, of hurt. You see, it is possible to be honorable and honored and yet be hurting, full of pain, full of hurt, full of sorrow, sadness. Memories are come flooding back. A sense of your own identity, where to find it, what it is, who am I? Here he is, honored but hurting, the son of sorrow. That's his plight. Every Christian here this evening is honored. Of that, there's no doubt. You and I are the recipients of every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The Bible says we were chosen in Christ before the world was made. The Bible says, in time, our Lord Jesus Christ bore our sins in his body on the tree, had our names on his heart as he died, rose again for our justification. His Spirit called you from darkness to light, from the kingdom of Satan unto God, and has granted you acceptance, forgiveness, access to heaven, called kings and priests unto our God. Yet many an honored Christian is a hurting Christian. Deep pain that no one else knows about save Jesus. That's his plight. Secondly, we have his plea. And what a plea it is. Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, oh, we could have a sermon on that word, oh. There are men and women here who've been flat on the floor in the presence of God alone and know what it means to say, oh. Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm so that it might not bring me pain. First of all, his plea is a plea for blessing. He wants God's blessing. In the original, it's bless. Bless me. I need your blessing. I long for your favor. I ache for your smile. Nothing else matters other than the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel, the living God, the covenant God, the creator and sustainer of the universe, the God who's promised his Messiah, this God. Will you bless me? Actually, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. Other than you and I live under the smile, favor, and blessing of Almighty God. And here's this refugee, this fatherless one, wondering what on earth is going on, even though he's amongst the aristocracy, feeling as if, oh, what's happened to me? What hurt and pain do I feel? Cries out for God's blessing. Bless me. Oh, with all my heart, with every fiber of my being, with any ounce of passion that I can muster, with every ounce, oh, that you would bless me. I call upon you, if you are a Christian, a true Christian, there must be a time in your life when with such ardor and devotion you make that plea. enlarge my border. He wants, doesn't he, that God would enlarge his territory. Some people think, of course, that here is a man praying for health and wealth and prosperity. Some of you remember that advert on the television. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? Lord, enlarge me, bless me with health and wealth and prosperity and possessions and goods. Actually, Jabez wants the blessing of God on his life and the enlarging of his influence to spread abroad that blessing to men and women to whom he comes in contact with. Lord, would you enlarge my territory? Would you enlarge the place of influence? Would you enable me to speak to more and more people of your blessing, of your favor, of your smile, of your love, of your care for a sinner like me? And, oh Lord, that your hand might be with me. May your hand be with me. Remember that God is a spirit without body or parts. Remember that in the unfolding of Revelation, God in his mercy and kindness, pitying our weakness, allows his spirit to move through the prophets, to paint pictures of God, so that we, human and finite, can understand. Here is a picture of God with a hand held out, a hand picking up, a hand having a grip, a hand blessing and protecting, enabling and equipping those who cry out to him. I read the story of a little girl who walks through a dark cave, which has got lights on. And as they're walking through the cave, the lights go off. There's a power failure. It's pitch dark. Dad says, "Sweetheart, don't worry, I'm here." "Daddy, I'm not worried. You've got hold of my hand. You've got hold of my hand. You're holding me. You're helping me. You're by me. You're supporting me. You'll never let me go." May your hand, that mighty hand, that omnipotent hand, be upon my life. May I be a man, says Jabez, of whom people can say, the hand of God is upon his life. The hand of God is upon her life. God is with her. God is with him. It's obvious. That hand of provision, that hand of protection, that hand of leading and guiding, that hand of safeguarding, that hand of mercy and of grace. And not only so, that you keep me from harm. Keep me from evil. Says other translations of this. Keep me from evil. Remember, our Lord Jesus Christ told us to pray that every day. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Keep me from the evil of my own heart. I remind you, whoever you are, whatever your upbringing and standing, whatever other people say about you, whatever is your reputation, you and I are capable of anything. Over and over again, men and women of God in the Bible fell from great heights to great depths. Even Daniel, that upright young man who served God in Babylon and then grew to an old man to serve God in Babylon. No one could point the finger at him, yet in prayer he said to the living God, "Unto you belongs righteousness, but unto me shame and confusion of face." Here is Job. The living God says to the enemy of our souls, "Have you considered my servant Job, just how upright he is?" And what does Job say? "I am vile." And says of God, "He charges angels with folly, and the very heavens are unclean in his sight." What does Peter say? "Depart from me, O Lord, for I am a wicked man. I am a sinful man. Lord, would you keep me from evil? The evil of my own heart, the evil of my own thoughts, the evil of my own words, the evil of my own actions." That's a prayer to pray. And listen, "that you would keep me from harm, that it might not bring me pain." That it might not cause more pain, cause more evil. Do you remember what our Lord Jesus Christ said about those who cause children to stumble? "It would be better for them not to have been born. It would have been better if a millstone had been round them." You see, there's something worse than being a sinner. It's being a stumbling block. It's causing other people to fall. It's pulling others down. Lord, would you keep me from causing pain to others? Keep me from bringing evil unto others. What a plea this is. How different from the modern view of asking for God's blessing upon your life. This is what it means to be in the will of God, even your sanctification. This is what it means to pray for God's blessing. "Enlarge my influence for your glory. May your hand be with me. May people know that the hand of God is upon my life. Would you please keep me from evil? Please keep me from causing others to stumble." Years ago we sang here, "They're watching you, marking all you do, hearing the things you say. Let them see the Savior as he shines in you. Let his power control you every day." What a plea. Thirdly, we have his place. Yes, an actual place. A city, in fact, named after him. Then in 1 Chronicles chapter 2 and verse 55, we see that the scribes are in the city of Jabez. Isn't that amazing? What an answer to prayer that is. There's an actual place now called the city of Jabez. And the scribes go there. The teachers go there. The intelligentsia go there. The leaders and the rulers of the day are going there. Jabez has a city built after him. And those who lead God's work go there. What a blessing that is. Isn't it? God answers his prayer. That's what it says. God granted what he asked. Do you remember how we're told, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will grant to you the desires of your heart." when our will submits to His will, when our desires are subject to His desire, when our delights are His delights, and we delight ourselves in the Lord, He grants the desires of our heart. God granted what He asked. And an actual place, the city of Jabez, where the priests go and study, are named after this fatherless, broken-hearted, but honored and prayerful saint. He's a case to copy. I love the story of Francis Ridley Abigail. If you don't know her story, read it. She's a genius. She knows Hebrew and Greek. She's a linguist. She can speak fluently in lots of different languages. She's an author. She writes stories and books. She's a singer, and we're told she sings beautifully. But you know, she was also someone who struggled with weakness and sickness and low esteem, struggled with the burdens and pressures of life. She wrote a prayer. It's a prayer each of us should learn off by heart. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Let's stand and sing.